Welcome back to Building the Bakken, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Next, we hear from Lynn Helms, Executive Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources.
Jason asked about natural gas and what we see in the value-added area. First of all, let's say month to month, we have continued to break records in natural gas production. And we don't really see that abating. One of the factors of the focused drilling and completions in the core area is high gas oil ratio wells. And fortunately, the drilling in the core has allowed the midstream, the gathering and processing people, to focus their pipeline and plant construction in that same area. So you saw Lonesome Creek come on, you're going to see Wild Basin come on, and also Bear Creek before the end of the year. So three gas plants between Watford City and Killdeer in that same core area. So we really expect that we're going to exceed that 90% capture number, which is great news. So if we're going to break records month to month to month in gas production, we want to make sure we're capturing it. And that's what we really anticipate. And that sets us up really long term for all the gas plants and gathering infrastructure that we probably need until drilling comes back really significantly in the 1920 timeframe. So that'll be good news. On the value-added side, we're working through the Commerce Department, and we're also working with operators to try to get a better picture of how much ethane we're going to produce. Ethane is really the number one value-added product that's in the natural gas, and Bakken gas is extremely rich in ethane. I think it's around 20% of the gas stream. What we have found out visiting with the Alberta people and Saskatchewan people is that the anticipated dryness of gas coming from Canada into Northern Border is not going to happen. That the gas coming in on Northern Border is actually increasing in ethane content. And that's going to put a squeeze on our ability for gas plants to reject ethane and send it with the natural gas stream and send it down Northern Border. Now, that's good news for the value-added people, because it's going to create an opportunity to straddle that pipeline or to work with some of our operators on a percent of proceeds basis and purchase their ethane and actually construct a polyethylene plant in North Dakota, which is our ultimate goal, is to capture that and make plastics. Now, the difficult thing is that the one or two people who've been looking at it are looking at enormous scale plants. They're looking at Gulf Coast size plants. And I don't know, we're not quite to where we can support that yet at this point in the projections with the potential for natural gas production to stop breaking records. There's some uncertainty in ethane volumes going forward. But we have Justin Kringsted with the Pipeline Authority working on that and working those numbers to get them a better sense of that. It may require us a smaller scale polyethylene plant than one of those giant Gulf Coast sized plants. But that really is the main focus. Now, there's a second focus in value added for natural gas, and that is export of natural gas liquids. Currently, natural gas liquids are shipped by pipeline to Bushton, Kansas, or they're shipped out by rail primarily to the east. The rail facility people are working on transitioning from crude oil to natural gas liquids, and they're working with our BNSF folks and the rail people. It's their understanding that there is an enormous demand for natural gas liquids, particularly propane, in Mexico and also from the West Coast into the Asian markets. And so we're going to see over the next year or two a transitioning of these transload facilities from crude oil to natural gas liquids where they can, where it's safe to do so. As you might imagine, that's a different paradigm if you're storing something like propane and butane in bullet tanks versus crude oil in a couple of big crude oil tanks. And so it won't be cheap and it won't be easy, but there's a value-added concept to those natural gas liquids as well. But the main value-added focus that we have and Commerce is in the ethane.
To listen to the full-length interview with Lynn Helms, Executive Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crow, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. And now a time for another barbecue tip from the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue. So what's your name and who are you cooking for?
I'm Josh Franken, and I'm cooking for St. Alexis Hospital.
What are you cooking today?
I'm cooking pork. I've got one tri-tip in there, but I've been doing pork for about 14 hours right now.
So describe that 14-hour process. Is there a marinade, an injection, a rub?
I bought locally here at the Worst Shop, and the great people to work with there, and brought the stuff home. I rubbed it all down, let it sit for about a half an hour, put it into my smoker last night at 200 degrees, let it smoke for 2 hours, pull it off of the smoker, put them into roasting pans, let them roast for 10 hours, pull them back off, shred them up, put them back into the smoker, and let them smoke now for about another 3.5-4 hours.
So you almost got a full day into each one of these pieces of pork that people are eating, huh?
It's a labor of love, absolutely.
You can taste the love, that's right. It looks like you guys got some tortillas.
Yes, we do. We're kind of doing a mixture here. We've got a salsa marinade that we're putting on top of it. We've got a corn and a flour shell over here on the side that we're putting into them. We've got some different flavors, barbecue sauces that we're using. So kind of doing the tango two-step for people's mouths now right now.
Where are you from?
I'm right here in Dickinson, South Park.
Oh, you're South Hart. Okay, I love going to the Farmer's Daughter's Cafe.
There you go. There you go.
How about the your background? How did you get to be the cooker? Do you got a background in this, or are you just the guy who barbecues in the backyard the most?
Actually, I used to run a catering business back in Oregon before we moved up here about four years ago. My wife here works for the hospital, and I've cooked for a bunch of different folks around for the hospital, different functions, marathon for tailgating parties. And, when they wanted to do pork, it's my way of helping out with the community, helping out with the hospital. They do a phenomenal job to me, and I want to just kind of help them back. So they asked me if I wouldn't mind doing it, and absolutely not a problem.
Tips for somebody, without giving away your trade secrets, tips for somebody who's an aspiring pit master of any age.
Some of my how I learned was actually a bunch of people would come over to my house. I used to be a police officer, and a bunch of people would come over to the house and loved my food, and eventually I just kind of picked it up, moved slowly through it, bought things. Now, for somebody who's getting into it, my advice is be patient, slow and low. It definitely is the secret to all kinds of meats. Be patient, no peeking. If you're poking in on the meat, you're not smoking on the meat. So really, really be patient that way. And be creative, travel outside of your norm, explore with different things, but stick with things that do work for you. Cook for what you want, how your taste buds are, and people will come.
Do you get into the different hickory chips or apple, pecan, or anything like that?
Yeah, today I'm actually did a mixture of between pecan and hickory. So just kind of hitting it with two different types of woods. Keeping it low. I try not to breach anything above 200 degrees. you know, as we're doing our pork, it'll dry it out. Make sure that you really keep things moist in there. I got a water pan in there to kind of keep the steam going inside of the meat to keep it tender. I would encourage people to maybe spray the meat periodically. You can use a butter rub or a cider or apple juice is another good one.
Mm-hmm.
For marinades, you know, explore around. Anything poultry, use a sweeter kind of wood, cherry wood, apple wood, that kind of thing, pecan. Anything for harder meats like beef, tri-tips, briskets, use a hickory or a mesquite. I'm Josh Franken and I'm cooking for St. Alexis Hospital.
My name is Otis and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.